Support for today's episode comes from Dame Products. You love the rose, but I'm telling you, Dame may have something a bit better. You may want to check out Dame's Air. It creates thrilling pulses of air and a soft seal around your clitoris, so you can go all the way right away. The opening is a bit bigger than the rose. The material is a little bit more squishier, so it just feels good immediately. And as a Boony Breakdown listener, you can receive 10% off your purchase of the Air by using the code Boony10. That's Boony, all cap letters, 10. Head on over to Dame.com to get you one. Hey y'all, it's your girl Boony, and you're listening to the Boony Breakdown Podcast, your source for all things responsible and ratchet. All right, so welcome to this week's episode. It's a good one. I love when I find amazing people, and let me not use the word find, but when I connect with amazing people, and then we have amazing conversations that you all get to listen to. So this week, our guest is Goddess Honeybee. All right. We have a conversation about her work as a Black goddess dominant. She is also a Black feminist freak. We talk about the deliciousness of consent and how Black women can tap into living their best and most pleasurable sex lives. Look, y'all, she even put me on to some new kinks, right? I think that's what I love about doing this show is that I always learn something new. And thus, I hope that you guys have learned something new because, like, knife play? Did you know? Because I didn't know. But stick around for the conversation with Goddess Honeybee. All right, we're just going to go right into my pick of the week. As we're already talking about deliciousness and lusciousness, pick of the week, shout out to the motherfuckers over at Coach. Whoever took over the design helm at Coach, kudos and bravo, whoever you may be. And I should have looked this up before I made them a pick of the week, but I honestly did not. I have been obsessed. I've purchased a few Coach things. We talked about it last week in the episode with Sheikha, but I'm obsessed. Like I have other, you know, things on my hit list that I would like to buy, designer shit, that and the other. But right now Coach has this bag out that if you did a quick glance, you might think it was a Chanel. And since I'm priced out of buying Chanel, I will be buying this Coach bag. I just don't have an occasion to buy it. And I'm usually can talk myself into spending money for anything. But I will be getting this Coach bag. I mean, the leather, the quality, it lasts. Shout out to Coach. And because I've been looking, whoever's on their marketing team, they have been feeding your girl the ads. Okay. I'm influenced enough. I got it. I'm going to make it, but you know, I just got to make a little coin to purchase it, treat myself. Right. But is the Coach quilted tabbies, that Napa leather. Oh my God. It's a dream. It's a delight. So don't sleep on Coach, right? Cause I feel like we get so caught up in the TikTok and the Instagram, like you got to be stunting with the Louis Vuitton and the Dior and shit. And I talked about it in the episode with Sam Smith back in December, like rock your Coach, you know, rock your Michael Kors. That's what the fuck you want to rock to. So don't be ashamed. All right. That is my message and pick of the week.
Housekeeping.
Come back later, please.
Housekeeping.
Not now.
Okay, first up for housekeeping, feedback from episode 250 with the homie Sheikha, reject your pussy. You know, a lot of people, I was surprised at how many of you really, really thought that The Brothers was a classic movie. When I did the poll on Talk to Boony Tuesday, over 60% of you all thought that The Brothers was a classic. Sheikha and I disagree. We thought it was a good movie. It aged well, but it indeed was not a classic. I posted a reel where we were talking about the Jennifer Lewis scene about eating the last piece of food. And someone mentioned in a comment on the reel, shout out to someone cute. They had mentioned that men fall for this as well, because in The Bronx Tale, the whole lean over and open the door for you after you got her in the car shit. So it's not just women giving this advice. Men give that type of colloquial advice as well. So if you did not check out Last week's episode with Sheika, we did a shit that hits different on the black film, The Brother. So go back and listen to last week's episode. Also, Patreon gang, if you're listening to this on the day this episode drops, Monday, February 12th, don't forget 8:30 Eastern time over on the Patreon portal. We will have our Galentine's Day kickback. I can't wait to hang with you guys. Hopefully it's a nice little crowd over there. And if you are not on Patreon, you like, I want to be in the kickback, you know what? You can sign up. You can just head on over to patreon.com/TheBoonieBreakdown. At the $6 and $15 level, they get the events. But you can join and support for as low as $3. And if you sign up for the year, you get like some months for free. It's the whole spiel is over there. So patreon.com/TheBoonieBreakdown. Can't wait to hang with you all for Galentine's Day. If this is your first time listening, welcome. I appreciate you being here. So go head on over, pick up your phone right now. Pick it up. Okay, you got it. Go on over to Instagram and hit @TheBoonieBreakdown and hit follow. You can do the same thing on Facebook. You can do the same thing on TikTok. You can do the same thing on YouTube. All right, all those places. If you want to do Twitter, you can do @BoonieBreakdown. You can find us sometimes over there. It's a little dying for me, but we still there. We still got a presence there. All right. So that is it for me. So let's get ready to break it down. All right, y'all. I always love having new people, finding new people. I'm not even sure how we found each other on the internet, but I want to welcome Goddess Honeybee to the Boonie Breakdown.
Hi.
Welcome. Do you know how we, I don't know how we found each other.
I think you actually you've interviewed a few people I know. So who was the first one? I don't know. But I think I saw part of their interview and I was like, oh, what's this? And then I was like, oh, there's a lot of people I either know and like or don't know, but could like. So I was like, oh, let me follow. And I like your content. So I share it. And every time I share, you're like, oh, thanks for sharing. I'm like, yeah,
you are, because I really just don't think people understand like how much that helps. Like me sharing it to the same people don't help me grow. So when other people share it to their people, that's what helps. So I am always appreciative of anybody who hits that share button, because to me,
it's
that
the
matters
best kind
more.
Of free support. It takes nothing.
It takes nothing. And that matters to me more than the likes. Like if somebody is hitting share, yes.
Well,
so thank you.
You're welcome.
Always appreciative.
You're
so
welcome.
I'm excited to get all up in your business.
Yes, I love
about
it.
About what you do, who you are, introduce you to my audience. And when I was looking at your page and getting ready, and I was like, what kind of conversation do I want to have with Goddess Honeybee? And I remember you responded back to my email and you said that you are a proud black feminist.
Oh,
so what
does
that mean to you? Like,
sure.
to wear that label?
Yeah. So about me. So I'm Goddess Honeybee. I am a pro and lifestyle femdom, just meaning that in my free time, I like to top and dominate people, but also people pay me for it, which is great. I do kink education and a host of other things that we could probably get into. I am a black feminist. I actually identify as a black feminist freak, which is a term of art that I'm kind of workshopping. But in terms of black feminism, so I was introduced to black feminism. Really, if you think about it, black feminism is part and parcel of my own understanding of my own identity, right? So black feminism is just understanding the ways that intersecting system of oppression impact black people who are also women. So the idea that we don't just experience blackness, we don't just experience womanhood, but we experience those things at the same time. And I think as our understandings of gender have expanded, so has the understanding of feminism, that like it does, yes, include women, but also includes femme-identified people, and other kind of gender expansive people. So it's this idea that, yeah, when I show up in a space, how that space interacts with me is not just based on my blackness, but it's also based on all of these other things that I experience. So black feminist freak is really, for me at least, about using my body and my sexuality to be intentionally subversive.
Okay.
And by that, I mean, you know, black people, especially black women and black femmes, have long, you know, wanted to control the narrative around our bodies, but haven't been able to. You know, even when you think all the way back to like Henrietta Lacks or Sarah Barty, and women in the Black women in the past who were used for our bodies, used for our body parts, figuratively and literally, but like, weren't literally. Allowed, right? But weren't allowed access to like vote, right? And you think about like the white suffrage movement, the movement for white women to vote was about white women. They were not trying to have, you know,
y'all don't worry about yourself later. Yeah.
Period. Right. And even like white feminism was about like, oh, white women being equal to men and we want to go to work. But for Black women, a lot of our reality has been because of the ways that Black families were separated in times of like slavery and even in the Jim Crow era, that we've been having to like work and we've been having to work outside the home. And so I think that for me, a lot of Black feminism is also this question of like, how do I get to show up as my whole self, but not as the mule? Like, how do I get to show up as a sexual being, but and be a hoe if that's how I choose to be, but like have myself be able to define it, right? Like, what does it mean for me to be able to define my existence as a sex worker? What does it mean for me to get to define my existence as a dominant, or even to like be in a space and decide I want to be dominant, as opposed to like when I'm at work or when I'm in spaces with white people and I have to assert my dominance because otherwise they're going to play in my face. Right. So I don't get to choose dominance when I'm at work. That's a dominance that's put upon me. And it's exhausting as opposed to the dominance of my choosing.
Woo, you done said several words in there. So we about to extract first. And I always ask people, especially doms that I have on, people who are phone sex operators, the stigma that's around the word sex worker, and you just said it. So you do identify yourself as a sex worker. Because absolutely. I know there is shame, and it's not by the sex workers, right? It's society. So
I mean, and there are some doms, just like there are some strippers who are like, oh, I'm not a sex worker, I'm a stripper, or I'm not a sex worker, I'm a dom, because I don't have sex.
Sex,
so
yeah.
That means this. And I'm like, yeah, but we're performing sexual acts, even if the thing is not overtly sexual, right? So if someone has a kink around adult nursing, for example, right? So someone having a breastfeeding kink, breastfeeding is not actually inherently sexual. And yet, if the person is deriving sexual pleasure from it, then it becomes a sexual act between two consenting adults.
Every time I have someone on here, I learn about a new fucking kink. Oh my God. So if you're a dom and that is your sub's kink, you will let them suck on your titty?
Well, how does that work? Most people who have a nursing kink actually want the milk.
You're not lactating.
These are empty. And prayerfully will never be lactating. I am happily child free.
Amen.
But you know, I have a person who I'm dating who does like where that is a kink of his. And for me, I'm like, you know, I hope you find it, because like I can't help you. So you know, I hope you find it. But yeah, no, it's totally a thing.
Because I'll be on Twitter, and everyone knows my love of Twitter porn, because it's just so nasty and I love it. But I was on this, I went deep in a porn rabbit hole because I just kept clicking like, oh my God. And I got to this lady's page, and God, I don't remember her name, but it took me by surprise because the video was just her like, and I was like, okay, titty play. And then she just went and like squirted all over the camera with the milk.
Yep. Yeah.
And I was stunned. I was like, okay, this is not for me, but...
I mean, you've never, so I have friends who like either have been pregnant or like were pregnant, and we're always like, like squirting their little, like, you know, on Family Feud, they call them dairy cannons. And I'm like,
sitting here thinking, I have a lot of my friends are child free.
Okay.
The ones who have had children, I am now going to tell them, bitch, why the fuck you ain't squirt your milk in my face?
Come on. Period. Like, also, because just to see, like, my homegirl was like, no, you just have to see, like, how far it goes. And she's like,
so,
and I'm like, oh, my God.
That's so crazy. No, my friend didn't do that, but it freaked me out because she was leaking one day. And I didn't know what that was. We were young. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? Like, I just didn't know the milk would just leak out.
Yes. Okay. My mom used to tell me, like, girl, you know, it'd be another baby crying in the Macy's and my titties start leaking.
That
You know,
is
motherhood.
insane.
Yeah. Sounds terrible. But, you know, yeah, like it's, you know, I'm glad for that. I'm glad someone did it because that's how I got here. So I'm like, shout out to the parents.
A shout out to the mothers.
Yeah, someone got to keep the population going, baby.
Yeah, no,
it's just, I am booking flights.
Yeah, I don't have it. I don't. It's not in the car to me. My factory is shut down. That's done. We're past that. And good luck to everybody yeah. else.
I mean, my factory is factoring, but not with this IUD. You know what I mean? It's like.
So FinDom, okay, I go here too. So, what is your favorite kink that you like to satisfy for sub?
Okay, well,
oh,
so
she got excited.
I do, and also, so like, just everyone who bottoms for me isn't necessarily like my sub, and sometimes okay. isn't even a sub. But we can talk about that. But my favorite kink, I like orgasm play, so I like orgasm control. The best, both denial and forced orgasm, and I really love to combine the two. There's just something about overwhelm that I really love as a sadist. So one of my homies is Dame Sadie, also known in some spaces as Madam Seduction. And one of the things that, you know, they help me understand is that like sadism isn't just about pain.
Okay.
That, you know, my desire to overwhelm people is also out of sadism. Like, or if you ever been like tickled so much you like can't breathe.
Yeah.
Or again, like you come so hard you like feel like you can't anymore.
You're gonna pass out.
Right. So like it's about like how are you pushing someone past what they even saw as their edge.
And but that seems like a true talent to like okay, girl. But it does to get somebody to that point, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah. And I love it. I mean, like, it is one of my, I just had someone, it's funny, in a group I'm in, like, share a clip from a session that they had with me that was forced orgasm. And they were like writhing. And some people, you know, like to do forced orgasm with restraints. And shout out to my rope girlies, but I'm not a rope girly. And really, I love restraining people with my body and also with like psychological force. So like using.
Tell me about the psychological mind. Force here. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like, okay, if you move, for example, I was playing with someone this weekend and I was doing this thing with his back and like my nails. And I was like, every time you bring your hands down, I'll stop. And if you do it three times, I'll stop for good. And so psychologically, right, that person is locked in. They're really concentrating and really focused because what's happening to them feels really good. And even it's one of those things where it's like, oh, it feels so good. I almost want you to stop, but please don't stop. And so, yeah, it's like, yeah, you can do this. and these are the consequences, right? And then for my body, I just like to literally physically hold someone down and make them come until they tap out or until I get
and tired. Somebody's probably listening to this and not knowing that would what they like is a form of kink or what the name of the kink is, right? So you're probably listening like, oh shit, I like that shit and I ain't know it had a name.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, also, I feel like almost everything has a name. Almost everything.
Literally. Literally. Like, I went down a rabbit hole, too, of, like, it was some article I was reading and, like, certain things that are kinks. And I'm like, there's a population of people who get turned on by this. Okay. Yes. All right.
Yes.
Okay. Like, that's not my ministry, but all right.
Yeah.
And I think, I tell my friends all the time, the more I do this podcast, the more I realize my freak meter ain't... and it's freaky because right and not because of an unwillingness to try.
No, just like I never heard of that.
Yeah, I just didn't know. So yeah. Now that I know, it's like, huh.
And there are so many people who, like, for example, I know for me, especially as a Black person, I was like, oh, BDSM, that's that white people shit. But then it's like, okay, sis, but you say you like choking niggas out, you say you like to like smack and you like to hit, you say you like to like give hand jobs even beyond like when he's come, you like to, you know, do this, all of those things are, or many of those things are elements of
BDSM,
right? They have an element of control, an element of power play. But because BDSM has been so gatekept, you know, frankly, by white people, and even now a lot is shifting and changing as more and more Black kinksters are kind of coming out.
For sure.
And building community. But, you know, even still, a lot of the dungeons are owned by white people. A lot of the bigger spaces and parties are owned by white people. But, you know, Black people are carving out spaces, and it's beautiful, and I love it.
Yeah, I love to see it, right? Because even if it may not be something that you're into, to watch Black and brown people find the freedom to explore, that to me is interesting, and I like watching it. And those are the people that I have on the podcast, right? Because, like I said, there's somebody listening who may be like, oh shit, I've been into that and I didn't know it was a community that I could find and go explore safely, right? And the people that I have on are people that I trust, that I've watched their practices. I've watched them create safe spaces. I've watched them ensure the integrity and safety of the people who come to their play parties or go to their events or whatever. So I am happy to like make that bridge, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because honestly, it's like, that's how, you know, I found community. Someone saying to me like, hey, I know you're into these things. Like, you should check out this person. You should check out, I think the first person someone told me to check out was Mistress Marley. Another person someone had told me, a mentor of mine from when I was a kid, is also a mentor of a person who I know, love, and respect. And she was like, no, you have to meet, like, you have to meet Dame Sadie. You have to meet Dame Sadie. Like, y'all would really kick it off. And so, like, meeting them, being able to be in spaces where, and what you said really resonates, like, okay, when you see someone you trust, it's like you can trust their spaces too, right? So I'm like, okay, I know that this person, my mentor, I'm like, I know that she's not on no fuck shit. So I know she wouldn't recommend me to someone who was not about, you know, also like safety and freedom and Black people.
Yes.
And then I'm like, okay, I get to know that person. We went to dinner. I was like, oh yeah, okay, this person is really dope. Like, you know, when they introduced me to Ho Hive, and then I'm in this space, and I'm like, okay, this space is really dope. And then I'm meeting people there. So, as a person who was hesitant to build community, and part of it, I think, is some, like, PTSD is too strong a word, but some like residual hesitation from seeing how some other spaces get like a little bit like elitist, or a little bit like, oh, like we're the people who know, and so those are the people who don't know. And that's just like not what my experience has been at all.
Yeah.
In the kink community. And I'm like, I love this. And there are so many lessons, I think, from the ways that Black kinksters build together, and the ways that we're like experimenting with, like, yeah, building new safety frameworks, like DocuRock, Candace Liger, Dame Sadie, and a host of other folks using like research and Black woman brilliance to come up with trauma-informed consensual kink as like an actual framework, not just a slogan or a phrase,
but I love
really
that.
Having research and like running a training so that those of us who are also practitioners can get skilled up, and being better at being able to provide the services we provide and provide the fun that we provide safely and in a way that takes into account the very real like historical and like generational trauma that Black and brown people have been subjected to, you know.
I think that's so great, because that's some of the feedback I always get from these episodes, right? Or like, if I tell someone beforehand, oh, I'm recording with a dom or this, whatever, and they're like, oh, how do they stay safe? Like, and I think safety is one of those big things, and safety of your person, safety of your health, right? If you are engaging in sexual activity, so you're, you know, your mental, if something happens traumatic or, so I think it's so great to hear that all of these spaces are taking things seriously, and the people who are running the spaces as well. So you live, you learn, something will happen. You know, I'm an event planner by trade. by day. So you already like events, something's always going to go wrong, right? You're just in the solution business. So that's all you can do. Like something's going to go wrong and you just got to pivot and figure it out.
Yeah.
But you do your best to mitigate those. Yeah, that's all. So, all right. I also wanted to ask you this. With your clients, right? I'm going to call them clients because you just said something. I'm going to come back into it. I put a pin there because you said not all the subs. We coming back. So for your clients, like, do you have like a menu of services? Because so what are your like your top offerings that people come to you for? You said a few, but your favorite.
Yes, my favorite. So Impact Play and Knife Play are probably the ones that people come to me the most. So Impact Play being anything that you do that involves striking a person's body. I use floggers, canes, my hands, my nails. I'm a nail girly. I punch, I box. People come to me for, I get a lot of people who either have, some people have had maybe negative experiences and they're looking to have a different experience with kink and with BDSM. A lot of times those people had negative experiences with men who like, I am a dom. And it's like, but they weren't. They were just trying to subjugate a woman, frankly. Not really pay attention to like, what are the things that she wanted and what were the things that were going to make her feel comfortable submitting. And so like, I've had people, you know, I've had my knives on people's genitals. I've had my knives at people's throats.
Yeah, let's talk about this knife play, right? So I'm thinking about my body.
Probably is my favorite actually for alpha.
Really?
Yeah. I am a big knife girly. And my mom was always like, don't let us cut you.
So is it like a sharp point? You're like going to drag it over my nipple or something?
Yeah, look at you like that. That was very specific, Bonnie.
Just had to think about myself. I'm like, where would I like a knife? There?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I have like machetes. I have pen knives.
I would be terrified of a machete.
You know? And that's part of it, right? I think that part of what it also
the
enables.
Fear?
Yeah.
So you're going to have a machete? No, wait a minute. Walk me through where you take, how do you do this with a machete?
I mean, so I'm oil you up because it just makes it easier to not cut you unless cutting is what you want. No, see?
I'm light skinned. I scar.
I mean, you know, look, I'm going to listen to you. I mean, so you still going to have welts because I do like to see like a little evidence.
Okay.
And I'll use, so my machete, I would pull it up, but my basement flooded. So all of my stuff is like, oh, the poor insurance man. He was like, I'm sorry, these are your sex toys? Looking at my knives. I was like, yes, sir. And you better put those on the claim. So my machete has like a broad flat side too. But it's sharp. It has a point, a slanty point. So it's sharp at the point, sharp on the sides. It's sharp everywhere. But then it has like, you know, this flat, cold side.
Okay.
So I may drag the flat cold side and then switch it and drag the pointy side. And I'm paying attention to your body. I like it on soft places. So I may have it fall along the curve of your side. I love rolls. So if a person has rolls, I'm like dragging it all over the rolls.
Oh my God. What if you like slice somebody's rolls up?
No. Anything's possible, but I have not sliced anyone up. I've had many people at this point, over 100 people. I've touched with knives. I've had sex with my knives. Not like me having sex with my knives, as in I was having sex with a person and my knives were also involved. You know, I'm a very...
It's just so creative.
Yeah, I recently did a solo masturbation scene with Black Touch, and
he was on here. I love Black Touch. I love his voice is great too.
Oh my God. Like, y'all are just so fine. I'm like, you, your wife, everybody, just yes, everybody's fine. but like I use my knives sometimes during masturbation, and he was like, I've never seen that before. It's like, yeah, I mean, it adds, I think, just an element of it adds texture. And I don't know how to explain it other than that, but like it adds texture, I think, to an experience, and it becomes a thing. Like, so for me as a person who I don't like feeling scared, So the same reason that like I shoot guns, because I was like, if something happens, I don't ever want to be scared of a gun. I don't want to be scared of the sound. I don't want to be scared of the sight of it. I want to see it. I want to understand how it works. But knives, I mean, I've liked knives since I was little. I used to give knives as gifts to my friends when I was in like middle school. I used to get in trouble. Because I'd go and I'd these like knives, these decorative handles or these decorative blades. I'd be like, oh my God, this, I present.
That's your thing. Knife. That's like your thing.
It is my thing.
Knife play. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's great. I love it. You know, you can always let me know, you know, Boonie, if you ever want to.
Yeah, I'm like, I have to trust that with a professional because I couldn't just tell some.
I know. I
would not tell Boo, like, pull out that knife.
You could, or you could send Boo to me to learn how to do it.
Okay, then.
You know, I could teach Boo a thing or two now.
Okay.
Okay, look, we can get you right.
That is, I mean, I could see why someone would be turned on by that. Because the word you use, texture, right? Like, for me, that's the thing. Like, the restraints, like, if you're using silk, like, I like to feel those different things. Sometimes it's soft, sometimes it's hard, right? You know, the flogging, or if you have the silk, you know, restraint on your eyes or your wrist, the feather, your hands, like, the different sensations is what gets you going. So I'm like, yeah, I could see how a knife could do it.
Yeah. The other day I used in a session, I used a rope toy that was hers already, but I used it like on her clit through her like silky panties. And it was like, she was like, that was, you know, a really new sensation. But I'm like, yeah. So I really love playing with the senses and playing with different sensations, different feels, you know. Sensory play. But I love it all. And I love when a person allows me to curate a session for them that uses whatever tools and kinks that I desire. What matters to me and what I'll often ask is like, how do you want to feel? So when we're done, like, how do you want to feel in the session? How do you want to feel? What do you need to let go? Or what do you want to call in? And how can I use these tools and curate this experience in such a way that you get that? Because sometimes it's like, yeah, I want to come, but I really need like release. I need to be like screaming. And sometimes it's like, I really need a good cry. And I really
not you being a therapist over there with your knives and shit. But that's dope though.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I love it. I mean, it's somatics, right? Like the body, you know. What's the book? The Body Keeps the Score, right? I mean, like, the body stores so much, and we are so disconnected from our body, and somatics is a practice and an invitation. I really think of it and was taught somatics from people who really taught it to me as, like, Black people's inheritance. Like, we deserve to be in our bodies. We deserve to have a relationship with our bodies. We deserve not to be so disconnected from them. You know, but we're so disconnected that we'll be like, oh yeah, I'm okay. Meanwhile, our body is like, no, we are not okay. And we can feel it. We can feel our heart beating. We can feel our chest being tight. We can feel, you know, our jaw being tight. And then we wonder why we're sick all the time. And it's like, yeah, because
you're holding it. It's shout out to the homie Eric. He has this saying he always does with his podcast, relax your shoulders.
Come on.
And you don't even realize how much you sit like this. So you're like,
that's right.
And so just relax your shoulders.
One of my teachers, unclench
that jaw.
She would say, release your butt cheeks. And without fail, every time that Maui Lisa said it, I'm like, dang, I didn't realize it. But yes, I was holding these booty cheeks.
You know, when I'm on the wax table getting my Brazilian, my wax girl be like, relax. She's like, before she even rips, she's like, I feel it, relax. And as soon as you sink into the table, she's like, and you're like, okay, yeah. She's like, y'all be trying to fight me and prep. Like, she'd be like, relax, like, relax.
I was told, wax ladies, how am I supposed to relax and you're literally about to rip the hair out
it's
my
pussy?
It's
so funny. I have been doing this easily over a decade now at this point, right? Like, and it's still like the vulva, I'm cool. But as soon as she gets, it's some three yanks in the inside.
Bruh, I'd be like, you can just leave it.
My girl is so thorough. she gonna pull them tweezers out. If she sees something she don't like, I'd be like, not the tweezers.
And she said, you know, I'm about to be walking this pussy around saying I did it.
Well, I joked with her the last time I went, and I was like, you be in my pussy more than my gynecologist. Like,
I mean, and facts, though.
Like, she just be like, okay, light, open up, all right, bye. I like, you be in there like, I'm like, no.
Okay, then be like, all right, let's do the booty now. Like, now it's time for the booty strip.
So, I'm going to share something so funny. It's off topic. It's all time. Yes. It's off topic.
Yes.
So, I was sending some nudes.
Yes, I already love where this is going.
And I was like, oh, let's take something different. So I'm doing like the phone is on the floor standing over it kind of shit. I was like, is that a shadow? Or is that like, I'm like sending it. It's winter time. Y'all can see. So I was like, is that a shadow? Or is that like hair on my butt? Because like, wax all up in my booty hole. That's, you know, that's bald. And so I'm like, nah. So then I lay on the bed and I'm with my arm like, and I'm looking. I'm like, nah, that's hair. So I'm like, I text my wax girl. It's 11 o'clock at night. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, Jessica, you might have to reschedule me because I went. And she's like, what? She's like, okay, I can reschedule you. I was like, I think I need a full butt wax. I'm light skinned. Like, it's like more than, it looks some fuzz. So she does my Brazilian. She's like, she do my booty hole. She's like, girl, turn over. Let me see. And she's like, not you texting me at almost midnight like it's an emergency, but it's a little bit of hair. I was like, it gotta go.
Hey,
I just got my whole butt waxed.
How did that feel?
It's so funny. I got a big old booty too. But it just went like, she laughed because she was like, not it rippling. Because when she was like that, we were in there cackling, okay? But it didn't hurt to me. It didn't hurt at all, but... She was like, okay, I'm going to do it.
The best one.
Yeah. So she just went. But I laughed because I totally just got a butt wax last month because I was taking nudes and saw peach fuzz.
And said, no, not today, Satan.
She was like, you don't have to do this every time. So please don't add this when you book it. She's like, this will probably be like once a year. But like, I was like, okay, it was just too much. It had to go. She was like, no.
Booty wax.
It was like 911 emergency. So that was my tangent on butt waxing.
I mean, and a necessary tangent. Plus, we got to hear about your butt rippling. So I, for one, am pro tangent.
There you go.
I just use my imagination. I'm like, yep, I see it.
Ripple. So bring us back on tangent.
Yes, yes.
The word on the street is you got a book deal.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Congratulations. So, tell us about
this. Thank you. So Dame Sadie and I recently signed a book deal with AK Press, and we're going to be curating a book, part anthology, but also like a lot of writing from us too. But it's about Black kink. So it's called And a Freak Shall Lead Them. And we are super excited. It's about it's a bunch of Black folks, a bunch of Black kinksters with varying perspectives, varying sort of like identities, varying journeys. So some people who are new and talking about like how new things are, some people who are like, you know, been vets, some people who are in their, you know, 60s, 70s talking about kind of, you know, what's been going down with their kink life and their kink journey, things they've seen. And we're just excited. So shout out to Adrienne Marie Brown. So it's in the pleasure activism lineage. And we are really thrilled to be bringing that and to be part of helping to bring forward more Black kink stories. So many of the books that you see around kink are white authors, white stories, white centric, Eurocentric. And there's really good, like Color of Kink is a really good book about like Black folks and kink and Black women in particular and kink and porn, but it is more academic. And we wanted to have just a little more focus on like narratives, essays. We'll have art in there. We'll have poems. So just feeling really, really excited to add to the pleasure activism, like body of knowledge.
That's dope. Congrats.
Thank you.
I know you got a book deal, so it's gonna be a while, but when is the anticipated release?
I mean, it's not that long of a while. It's supposed to drop at the top of 2025.
Oh, it'll be here before you know it.
Yeah, I know. That's how it'll I feel about it right now. Actually, I'm like, that feels like tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because January is almost over.
I don't know. I feel like something happened in the atmosphere universe. Yes. During the pandemic, something with the time happened.
Yes.
Because 2019 seems so far away.
So, like, I'm like, how is that only 4 years ago? Like, barely 5 years ago? Yeah, like, how is that possible?
What happened there? Like, I just feel like time just really is on some, like, these months are not fucking around with us. They be in and out. Like, all right, I gotta go. And bye.
Heavy on the out. They're like,
I feel like, it was just Thanksgiving. It was just Christmas. And now
it's just Christmas.
Yeah, it's so fast.
It was just Christmas. And I'm like, it is. My sister was like, yeah, you know, because we're going to celebrate her birthday next week, in Turks and Caicos. And she's because next week. And I'm like, how was your birthday next week? Your birthday's at the end of January. Yes. She's like, right. And I'm like, that's crazy. It was just New Year's Eve.
No, like yesterday. You
know, just yesterday. Yeah.
Just yesterday. So, yeah, I don't know what happened in the shift in that pandemic, but.
Shifted back. Because I'm like, ain't been, 42.
Time ain't been right, okay?
It's giving the flash, okay? It's giving, no.
Something. So, before we wrap up, what I love about this, and I like to ask, you know, some of my kink forward Black feminist freaks.
Yeah.
I like to ask them, any advice you would give a Black woman, a woman listening, who is struggling with how to center their pleasure, right? Like women, and you know, I love my friend Vanessa the Vagisteam. She be going on these sermons about, and recently she posted like, girl, don't you take another dick riding class, dick sucking class for a man who can't even make you come, right? And so,
So
what is your piece of advice you would give to women how to center their pleasure and put their pleasure first?
Yeah, I mean, and also speaking of Vagisteam, shout out to her. And I think February 10th, she's
having
a pop-up.
Yes.
I'm going because I'm like,
everyone's going to be there. So you got to go.
Everyone's going to be there. So you got to go. Honestly, I would give probably three pieces of advice. So I'd say one is to invest in it. And by invest, I don't necessarily mean like, just like Vagisteam is saying, like, don't go, oh, I'm going to go do this dick riding thing, this dick sucking thing. Now I'm going to be a dick goblin. But investing in, there are actual pleasure professionals, pleasure coaches. I'm one, yes, but there are plenty of us. Maybe plenty is an overshoot, but there are quite a few of us who have experience working with Black women in particular, and not just experience with, but like a real commitment to the joy and the pleasure of Black women. And I feel like there's this way that we will invest in all of these other things in our lives, but feel like pleasure and sex is just supposed to come naturally. And part of that is because that's what we're taught, right? We're taught like, oh, because you can get wet, you just automatically know like what's going on. And centering your pleasure is also oftentimes more than sex. Like so much about centering your pleasure happens before you ever make it to the bedroom. And working with someone who can ask you really good questions, who can hold what you're carrying without judgment and without really a commitment to whatever the outcome is, but someone who can hold what you're going through. And it's not a therapist, right? I mean, but shout out to therapy. Like, yes.
It works.
Therapy. Okay. Amen. Amen. But yeah, so I would recommend like investing that way. Also, I mean, so if you're a vision board girly, like planning for your pleasure makes sense. So I'm also a vision board girly. I'm actually partnering with Touch by Jax for a pleasure visioning event in DC, February 8th. You can come to my page and see more about that if you're interested. But you don't necessarily need that. I mean, you know, in my opinion, if guided stuff is helpful for you, then yes. But you can put together, you can sit down and actually be thinking about what are some of the ways you want to invest in your pleasure over the next 12 months, right? So we'll do that for our career, right? Well, a lot of times we'll do that for our families.
Or a lot of things.
Have a five-year plan. Oh, yeah, for so many things, but not for the ways that we want to feel good, not for the ways that we want to experience satisfaction, right? Yeah. Like, how do we move beyond even just feeling good and be like, yeah, these experiences that I'm having are satisfying. So that's one, that's two. And I would say the third is actually like, so rewinding back to therapy, like if you're a person who is in therapy and you are lucky enough to have a therapist who is like sex positive, having candid conversations with your therapist also about the ways that you want to expand your pleasure. Because if there are things that are blocking you from being able to experience your pleasure fully, you want to work through those, right? And sometimes the things that we have to face are the very things that when navigated, I won't even say removed, because sometimes, you know, especially deeply held trauma is never removed, but we learn how to navigate it. Right.
Yes, and cope.
And cope, exactly. And a professional who really is, again, like someone who's sex positive can help you navigate that and can help you navigate some of those blocks and help you be in a place where you can start saying what are the things that you want. I think, again, we're really practiced at saying, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like that. And it's like, okay, so what do you like? Right? Not just what do you want to release? What do you want to get rid of? What do you want to call in to your life? What do you want to call in to your pleasure journey?
Love it. Love it. So we're going to move into the breakdown. Yeah. I'm going to say a word. You say the first thing that comes to mind, a phrase, a sound, whatever.
Okay. All ready? Right. I watch so much Game Show Network, so this feels like that.
Well, the first one, black women.
Bad as shit. Elite. Chef's kiss.
Elite.
Oh, is it one word? Is it one word?
Whatever comes to mind.
Okay, good. Because all that. It was all that. The best. Wouldn't trade it.
Honey.
Sweet. Sticky.
Feminist.
Baddie. Freedom.
Fisting.
Ooh! Ouch. But shout out to them.
Shout out to them.
Shout out to them, baby. Whew.
Release.
Climax and satisfaction.
Impact.
Delicious.
Cat Williams. And last one. Freak.
Powerful.
If you're on Patreon, you just saw what she did with her tongue. Okay. Goddess Honeybee. Please tell everyone where they can find you on social media, where they can follow you on the interwebs. Because social media be hating on sex positive pages. But
oh my gosh.
How they can be in touch with you.
So I've been deleted 3 times, y'all. But for right now, I mean, you know, you can find me on Instagram at @the_goddesshoneybee, GODDESSHONEYB, just the letter B. On Twitter, I think I am at @goddesshoneybee, and I should know this by heart, but now you know I'm old. I've told on myself. I feel like all the children know their thing. Oh, look, I was close. So on Twitter or X, whatever, it's Twitter.
It's Twitter.
I'm goddesshoney_ and the letter B. My website is coming along. I mean, you can actually, I think it is technically live, but it doesn't have anything on it yet. So, but maybe by the time y'all see this, it'll have something on it. So that's goddesshoneybee.com. Very straightforward. GODDESSHONEYB.com. And that's where you can catch like events. Oh, my Linktree too. Linktree/goddesshoneybee. And you can see all of my links, all of my socials are on there when I have events or if I'm doing something like Exotica or conferences. I try to put that on there too.
Awesome. So I will link all of those in the show notes and on the booniebreakdown.com. So thank you so much, Goddess Honeybee.
Thank you for having me. This was a joy.
Yes, it was. So thanks again.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right. That is it for this week's episode. I want to thank the guest, Goddess Honeybee, for an amazingly dope conversation. Be sure to support and follow her as well. Don't forget to check out Dame products. You can use the code Boonie10 for 10% off your purchase over at Dame.com. So thank you for supporting our sponsors. And if you enjoyed this episode, I encourage you to listen and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, YouTube, or any apps that you listen to your favorites on. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review too over on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You know what? If you write some words, you may just hear it on the next episode. Follow us on all social media. Share the episode with those you love, those you don't love, those you fucking hate. I don't make these pretty images for nothing, okay? Have a dope ass week. Stay healthy, safe, and sane. And thank you for listening. And remember, the ratchet in me always honors the ratchet in you. Home I stay. Until next time.